This is the beautiful day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're glad that you joined us on this beautiful Sunday, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending. We want to welcome you. Those of us who are here on a regular basis would like to seek you out and shake your hand and say hello and express our wish that you would find a place here with us. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come and introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you and we would love it if you would make a home here at West End. Now, I'll mention a few opportunities here, but there are lots more listed in your bulletin inserts. First of all, this afternoon at 4:30, the chancel choir will be presenting the Brahms Requiem. At 3:30, just prior to that, there will be a pre-concert talk by Dr. Tucker Biddlecombe, Director of Choral Activities at Vanderbilt University. So I'm sure many of you will want to be here for that 4:30 presentation, but you may want to come a little bit early to hear what Dr. Biddlecombe has to say about the piece as well. That's here in the sanctuary. Our Tazay service this evening is at 5 p.m. in Scales Chapel. If you have been, you already know. If you haven't, please know that this is a time of quiet and prayer. There are prayers for healing. There is singing. If you would like a respite from the busyness and noise of life, this is a wonderful way to get in touch with God in that quiet time that Tazay presents. Our mission team left yesterday morning for Guatemala. I have on good authority, which means Facebook, that they have arrived safely. I've seen some photographs, and so I would invite you to continue to pray for them as they minister in God's name and on our behalf in Guatemala this week. They'll be back next Sunday evening late. Also, there is a movie event coming up this Saturday, April 25th, in the Four Story Theater, beginning at 10 o'clock, a whole series of Star Wars movies. You may want to check that out. You can come and go as you like, and I think it'll be great fun for any of you, for all ages. So please note that. We are continuing our stock sales for the youth mission trips coming up this summer. If you can't go on that trip as a chaperone, you can still go in spirit because you can buy stock. You can actually support the youth with your gifts. And then at the end of the summer, there'll be a presentation you can attend to see the kinds of things they did, again, on your behalf, on our behalf. Now, if you would like to buy stock today, Sam Slattery is sitting at a table right out here in Reed Hall. He will be glad to sell you stock. He will be glad to talk to you about the mission trips. So please, if you would care to, stop out there and talk to Sam. Buy some stock while you're at it. So, why are you here? Well, it's a beautiful day. You get to come out on a beautiful day, or maybe communion. You missed communion earlier and you're here for that. Or maybe this is just habit. Or maybe your parents forced you to come. But guess what? Guess what? While we are here, we are being prepared, because when we go from this place, we get to serve others in ways that we haven't even begun to imagine. Thanks be to God.
Friends all with one accord, unite around the sacred Lord, to praise your holy name, O Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
This is the Easter season.
The celebration of the resurrection.
The festival of hope.
The promise of new beginnings.
The dance of faith.
The song of joy.
The music of gladness.
The hymn of love.
Let us worship our life-giving God. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to be in union with God and one another. Now let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us show signs and exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace, peace. Now let us join together the prayer for elimination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A reading from the Epistle. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only you do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the work of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was a boy, every summer for several years, my cousins, Karen and Susan, would come down to visit us from Chicago, come down to visit their kin in Tennessee. My Aunt Mary, my father's sister, had moved to Chicago and had married, some years earlier, my Jewish uncle, Abraham Goldberg. Uncle Abe would come down with Aunt Mary and Karen and Susan, and I don't remember a lot about him, except that he was a very tall, bald, gentle man, one of the gentlest men I think I knew, and perhaps part of my love for the Jewish tradition came from that early personal relationship. But you see, he ran a hardware store, so he had to go back to Chicago, but my Aunt Mary and my cousins, Karen and Susan, would stay for the summer, and they got to do things Chicago girls never got to do. They got to ride mules. They got to use outhouses. It was great. It was fun. One of the things that we did one summer at their stay was during the time that my parents' anniversary came. And so we came upon a plan, Karen and Susan and I, that we were going to prepare a meal for them just like at a restaurant. Now, they went out to restaurants in Chicago. We didn't do that much where I grew up, so I didn't know a whole lot about it. But with their help and guidance, we got folded paper and crayons and made a menu. We were preparing the meal, too, so there was only one item on the menu. I think maybe it was spaghetti. It was something very simple, okay? And then, of course, they could choose water or tea, things like that. But the cool thing was we got to serve. We got to be the servers on this. And so my mother, who usually, as a good Southern mother would, served everybody else, got to be served. My dad, who earned the money to buy the food, working on heavy machinery, big trucks and tanks and such at Fort Campbell, got to be served. We were so excited that we were going to be able to not simply prepare, but to serve this meal. You know, it's interesting the excitement that comes with serving. Margaret and I, yesterday morning, about 6 o'clock, were at the airport with our team going to Guatemala. And there is always a kind of energy about folks who are getting ready to go off on a mission trip. And it was there yesterday. Of course, there's the excitement that comes along with wondering whether or not your bags are going to be too heavy and things like that. And there's the excitement of coming, of going to another culture and another country. But many of these folks had been before, so it was not really new for them. But there was the excitement of their getting to go for the first time or to return to serve the indigenous people of Guatemala. Those who had gone before had already made friends. They would see those friends again. Those who hadn't yet were looking forward to that because they got to serve. See, we as followers of Jesus have these opportunities, and they're excited. We get to serve. It's not just when you're going far away. For those of you who were here for the great day of service, when you walked in McWhorter Hall, there was an energy that was palpable down there. Now, some of the folks had some idea about what they would be doing that day. Certainly, some of us would be bagging potatoes, or there were other activities, gardening. Some of us really didn't know what we were going to be doing, but we were just there, and there was an energy, and the energy was all around the fact that we got to serve. We got to do something for someone else. It's exciting. Every time we have a baptism, every time someone joins this congregation, we say we're going to support what God is doing through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Those are not obligations, those are opportunities. We don't have to pray, we get to pray. We get to come to church. We get to share our gifts. We get to serve. We get to witness. And there's an excitement about that. When Paul is writing to the Galatians, he is not excited. He's angry. Because you see, he helped start these communities. And he brought them up right to understand that you don't have to be Jewish to be a follower of Jesus. If you're a Gentile, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep kosher. You have to do one thing: love your neighbor as yourself. He happened to steal that from Jesus, who stole that from his own Jewish tradition in the Torah. Okay? That was the one mark that you had that you were a follower of Jesus. But then there were some people coming around the churches in Galatia who were saying, no, that's not enough. To serve one another in love is not enough. If you're male, you got to be circumcised. Everybody has to keep kosher. You have to follow the 613 commandments that are in the Torah. That's what you have to do. And Paul is livid. Because that's exactly the opposite of what he's preaching. It's exactly the opposite of what he thinks Jesus stands for. Jesus has set us free, he argues. It's in that first sentence. Free to serve in love. That's the mark of a follower of Jesus for Paul. You see, he distinguishes between works of the flesh and works of the Spirit. Now, the word he uses for flesh, the Greek word is sarx. Sounds kind of nasty, doesn't it? Sarx. Now, that doesn't mean the body. There's a different word for body. That word is soma. That's actually pretty cool, isn't it? Soma. But the works of the flesh are not necessarily sexual or even physical. The works of the flesh are those works that continually ask, okay, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of it? So that when we serve, whether we follow the law or anything else, we want to serve ourselves. That's what the culture teaches, isn't it? Look out for number one. Who's number one? Yourself, of course. If you expand that, you look out for your family, your community, your church, your party, your country, people who are like you, people who are of the same race, people who are of the same opinion. Those are what Paul would call works of the flesh, sarx. Works of the Spirit, however, emerge from serving one another in love. That whole list of sins all comes from that sense of how it benefits me and mine and those I want to benefit. The fruit of the Spirit, and it's singular, fruit, all those things come under one heading. The fruit of the Spirit grow out of a tree of service, of getting to serve, serving one another in love. And who do we serve? Well, Jesus pointed that out to us. Not only did he call us to serve, he gave us the example of how to serve. He washed his disciples' feet. He ate with sinners. He associated with the people nobody wanted to associate with. He healed those who needed it. He gave everyone what they needed, what they were in need of. So he showed us how to serve. And then he sends us people to serve. The least of these, he calls them. Those who will never be able to serve us. Karen and Susan and I were serving my mom, who served us. She did it all the time. We were just doing it one day, right? What would it be if we sought to serve those people who serve us? Those people working out on the roads or on the roofs or in restaurants serving us. Or what would it be like if we served those persons who could never return the favor, who need to be served because they don't feel like they have anything to offer back? You know, it's interesting, there's been a lot of talk recently about religious freedom. And what has been defined as religious freedom by the culture and by lawmakers seems to me to be the exact opposite of what Jesus is teaching. It seems to be presenting the idea that I'm pure, and if I have to associate with these people I define as impure, whoever they are, even if I have to do business with them, somehow I am sullied and I am impure. That's the old purity system. That's not Christianity. You may be protecting a religion, but the religion you're protecting is the old purity system. I'm pure and you're not, and I don't have to associate with you. But that's not what Jesus says. So if anyone tries to keep you from feeding the hungry or clothing the naked or visiting the sick or imprisoned or giving clean water to those who don't have clean water or simply offering to people what they need, whether that's health care, Jesus walked around doing it one by one. We do it differently today. Whenever you have done it to the least of these, he said, you've done it to me. So if anybody's standing in the way of you serving the least of these, they're infringing on your religious freedom. Otherwise, I don't see it. You know, we talked about justice a lot in Lent and everybody having what they need. How do they get what they need? Through serving each other in love. That's the connection. We're not just doing service, we're doing justice. I wonder how different our political system would be if all of our elected officials, local, state, national, instead of feeling like their primary service had to be done for those who provided the money for them to be elected, their donors, instead of understanding that their primary service had to be for their constituents, in other words, the folks who voted for them, the folks who agree with them, I wonder what would happen if folks of all parties who claim the name of Christ said, I am here, I get to serve in love the least of these, whoever has the greatest need. It would transform our political system entirely. It wouldn't matter what party you were in. It wouldn't matter who gave you money. It wouldn't matter who voted for you. If you were a follower of Jesus, what mattered would be who Jesus told you to serve. The least of these. Do you see how radical and transformative what Jesus has to say is? And even Paul picks that up. Had a friend. His name was Maurice Boyd. Maurice was born in Ireland, served in the Methodist Church in Ireland. I met him when he was serving in Canada, in London, Ontario. He was part of the United Church of Canada. Later came to serve at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Maurice was one of these incredibly eloquent Irish preachers. I mean, he could get up here and with that beautiful accent, he could literally read the phone book and you would be entranced. But in addition to that, He was a literary scholar. He was a biblical scholar. He was a theological scholar. He was a great communicator. He was a wonderful, wonderful preacher. And in truth, personally, he was kind of a force of nature. I remember Maurice telling a story about when he was a young pastor in Ireland. And I want you to imagine this. It may be a little tough. It may stretch you. But he, as the pastor, had a conflict with the lay leadership of his congregation. Okay? Just go figure. And in the midst of the conversation that went on, one of the lay leaders said, "Sir, you must remember that you are our servant." And without hesitation, he was so quick-witted, Maurice said, "Aye, sir, that's true, but you must remember that you are not my master." We must remember who our master is. It's not the bishop or district superintendent. They can be helpful in all of this. Your master is not the preacher, and you are not my master. We have one master, and that master is Jesus Christ. And he is the one who not only calls us to prepare us to serve, sends us to serve, shows us the example of how you go about serving. I mean, this is about as simple and straightforward as you can get. He shows us the example of how you serve, and then he gives us the people to serve. He calls them the least of these. That's why everyone's welcome at this table. But it's not just this table. It goes out into the world as well. All those folks who might be the least of these for whatever reason are the ones that we get to serve. That's the good news I have for you today. You don't have to try to follow half a dozen masters. You only have to follow one, Jesus. He's already, in the simplest way possible, taught us what to do and how to do it. And the good news is, we get to serve.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh baked treat for you. If you are a college student, either graduate or undergraduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and a time for fellowship and faith discussions in room 322, also known as the Fireplace Lounge. In the pews in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a staff member to contact you about your comment, please check the box on the card and note your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please note if these requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. You are invited to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find at the end of the pew near the center aisle, down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our worship service today. Today, we rejoice with the family, two families. We rejoice that Grant Harding Laird was born on March the 21st in Hoboken, New Jersey, to David and Jenny Laird. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Cheryl and Alan Patton. We also celebrate the birth of Lucas Mailer, who was born April the 8th, to Jen and Claudia Mailer. He is also welcomed by his brother Jonas and his sister Sarah Mailer. We also extend our sympathy today to the family of Dave and Jennifer Rawlings, who are mourning the death of Dave's nephew, Rich Rawlings, who died April the 9th in Webster Groves, Missouri. Services were held in Belleville, Illinois, on April the 13th. God has graciously given all that we have. As people of faith, let us return thanks through our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God of love, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that a time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he had promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has come, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Let us pray that everyday bread and juice will become holy. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, the glory and honor is yours, Father. Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
This is the bread of life given for us. This is the cup of salvation.
And this is our Lord's table. And you're all welcome. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The choir will come first, then the balcony and transepts, and then you will all be invited. As you come, please come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to receive, simply extend your hands. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. When you have received the elements, you're welcome to remain in a spirit of prayer. And when you do return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisle. If any of you need to be served in your pew for any reason, simply catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. Every month at Communion, we take an offering, and this month that offering goes to Project Transformation. It is the theme of next week's Youth Sunday, and there is a table out in Reed Hall if you want to learn more about it. But if you would like to contribute to the great work of Project Transformation, there are two offering plates next to the front pews. You can leave your offering as you come to commune. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You'll stand with me. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you in joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us, Lord, by you in all things.
Amen.
Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.